I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
About.
You gotta put it in
Can we have everyone's attention, please? This will only take a moment, and it will not be repeated.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
You're a big fan of Limp Bizkit then, right?
Of who?
Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, I guess I am.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
As I stand before you today, I see the greatest president in history. Of course he is. He was chosen by God.
His hands are so small.
And now.
Well, everybody loves you. How do you feel about doing morning radio tomorrow?
Really? Just me?
Yes. We need somebody with the gift of gab, and that's you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 8th of May.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing?
Well.
Allie, good?
Yeah.
Talked to Dave the King of Mexico yesterday after the show.
What? He said, well.
Oh, I thought he said well.
I meant well. I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Oh.
There is a difference between well with a period and well with a question mark. Ask me again.
Okay, how you doing?
Well.
That's what I heard.
But I'm going to follow up on.
Well. Here, this is what I meant to do.
Okay.
Go for it.
How you doing?
Well.
Very different from, let's roll the tape.
Okay, roll the tape.
We already have a controversy. We just started. So I'm sitting down with Dave the King of Mexico yesterday after the show.
Sorry.
And he says, to me, he says, hey, you should watch the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I said, really? More of a hockey guy? And the Stanley Cup playoffs are on? Mm-hmm. So he's like, dude, I got to tell you, the NBA playoffs are so much better.
Than
the NHL playoffs.
Oh, you mean the NHL playoffs that have gone to Game 7 multiple overtimes?
Yes.
Okay.
That one.
So, and he probably is hanging his hat on a recent 4-overtime game that happened in basketball recently.
Did it really well? That's crazy.
That was great and awesome.
He didn't mention that.
Yeah, well, I know where this story's leading.
So last night, I turn on the TV and I think, you know what? I'm going to watch the NHL playoffs, but I'm going to give Dave the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just turn on the NBA and see how it's going. And it was like a 19-point blowout.
I mean,
it was a horrible game.
Ended up in the 30s.
Did it?
Blowout.
Oh, my God.
That was a bad game.
Yes.
And I also don't necessarily... I mean, I'm a basketball head.
Yes.
And I don't think the series is... like yet, the playoffs have been such an explosion, incredible gameplay.
That's
as
what
of
Dave
yet.
Was saying, though.
Portland's looking good. There's some guys who've played some great games, and obviously
this
buzzer beaters.
This is the best basketball. You have to watch it. It's the best.
That's just not true.
That's what he was saying.
Huh. Yeah.
So then I flipped over to watch the double overtime game 7 mm-hmm. between Dallas and St. Louis. And the game was in St. Louis. And you guys probably know I don't love me some country music very much.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old school country music that really drives me crazy.
Lil Nas X excluded.
Sure, of course. Mm-hmm. But not...
Driving down the road, I get a feeling that I should have been home yesterday. Yesterday.
Not John Denver.
Okay.
Country roads, take me home.
All right, so I'm watching the playoffs in St. Louis, and you know how they come out of commercials and people in the audience keep singing the song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the song that they were singing in St. Louis, and they were singing along with it.
Yeah. Like as a whole crowd?
A career high 50 saves for Ben Bishop. He has stopped the last 45.
All right, so they're talking about the goalie and how great he's been, but behind him, you can hear the entire crowd.
St. Louis Blues shots. His mom, Cindy?
Yeah, can't even imagine. We all know that hockey moms are the greatest, regardless of the position, but.
All right,
especially.
Time to wrap that song up.
Moms whose sons or daughters are goaltenders.
All right, so now they're at the end of the song, so they stop.
At the highest level.
Oh, no, they don't. They keep going.
But they're going to do another verse.
They're going to be awfully proud of the way
this chorus.
Her son has played to this point in their hometown.
What's that?
Unbelievable.
He's talked about rooted against Ed Belfour.
Shut up. We're listening to the crowd.
As a teenager.
These people came to a concert.
These people wanted to put on a concert. Oh, I'm sorry. It's still going. Did you think it was going to stop?
That being goaltending. As our colleague, the great Doc Emmerich says, you got no
still going.
Yes. They're now singing without the track. Yeah.
We're making soccer look normal,
right?
In your team, whether it's over the course of
and we were texting each other like, what the F is going on in St. Louis?
I reached out to my friend Austin,
yes,
and I said, your city has some interesting song choices. And he just wrote back, Jock Jams and John Denver, I know.
Oh, no, really?
Like, he doesn't even understand it. He's like, it's St. Louis. We're not in West Virginia. We're not a mountain mama. No one needs to take us home.
But it is
They're called the blues.
They are called the blues, yeah. It's
insane.
You would think maybe they would play some blues. I don't know.
It's very easy to, like, if you play that, to realize how many white people are there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Very true.
Just like, put it on.
Unfortunately, that's true. I would like to say that although the Kings aren't in the playoffs, and I wish they were, at least that song that people keep singing after it's ended is Blink 182.
Right.
What's My Age Again or one of their other songs. And then the crowd continues singing it. So I would just like to say in that way we're better.
Well,
and
now,
yet in hockey ways we're not so good.
Now the Blues play the song Gloria by Laura Branigan.
Okay.
After every game, because it was an inside joke between the players. So for the past month,
I didn't know that.
They have been playing Gloria, and the whole team and everyone behind the scenes made a video last week of them dancing and singing to Gloria. It is concerning.
So they have a Laura Branigan song and a John Denver song.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's the least cool team in the world.
It really is.
It's very bizarre, but people have really kind of come around on Gloria, and they're like, now we look forward to it.
I don't know that I've thought of or heard that song in 20 years.
Oh, I think I got your number, Gloria.
It's kind of a jam.
It's kind of a jam, yeah. And then they play it at the end, and everyone's singing it. I was like, what is happening in St. Louis?
Why are they doing this?
Picking odd songs.
Yeah, kind of respect it.
Hmm. Really?
A little bit.
Well, I mean, it's better than just having the same old kind of tune. I mean, I don't want to hear White Stripes, you know, yelled by a bunch of people anymore.
I don't mind that.
Well, they do it at every
stadium. They do. You're
every
right.
Stadium.
I would pick that over John Denver.
Over John Denver, sure. But sure. A little.
Laura Branigan.
Laura Branigan. No. Right?
I'm not sure about that song.
I'm talking outside of my mouth.
In a while. Yeah. So the Blues move on and they go into the next round, but that was a double overtime playoff game.
Well, thank God they're moving on because now I have to watch just for the tunes.
It was very shocking, I got to be honest. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Speaking of Blink 182, we have a new song.
Hmm.
We're going to play Blame It on My Youth coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about
that. I've been blaming it on the rain for years, but I'll switch it up.
File. I'm not even sure I have the energy to say file.
Well, you tried.
A woman has an alligator in her pants.
Mm.
It's a true story out of Florida. That's right. What a surprise. Listener, I'll get his name, but he just tweeted. He said, I'm just going to leave this link right here. That's all it said. And then I went to it, and it was fantastic. Game of Thrones?
I will hand you the hot take title, because I cannot wait for you to explain what you told us yesterday.
I mean, look, how many seasons has the Game of Thrones been? 7? 8?
I think one of those.
I think this is 8.
Okay.
So everybody was asking me, am I going to go back and catch up? And I was like, no, I'm enjoying it perfectly fine now.
But do you know who all the people are and what their point is?
I'd say most.
Okay.
But you're...
Am I missing stuff? Sure, yeah. Of course.
Uh-huh. But you're satisfied.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Is that weird to you?
It is.
Just because catching up, they're at least hour-long episodes. Who's got that kind of time for 8 seasons?
Right. Listen, save it for post 6 when people are listening.
Okay. Also, you were raised by a clown. We're going to talk to you about.
This show is hot.
This is a weird, weird story. But we did have Nate Bargatze, who is a comedian. He was in 2 days ago. His dad was a clown for real.
And now a magician. Yeah.
Full-time magician. So we're going to talk about that. We have a comedian Anthony Jeselnik in on the program today. And we'll take a break and we'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Allie is here. What's happening?
Well, Disney announced that new Star Wars films and Avatar films are basically going to be with us every Christmas until 2027.
It's too much.
Let me break it down for you. So
depends on how well they're done.
Nope, too much.
2019, we have Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Then we take a break for 2020. Mm-hmm. Just going to relax.
Watch the elections?
Sure. 2021, Avatar 2 comes out. 2022, a Star Wars movie comes out. 2023, Avatar 3. 2024, another Star Wars movie comes out. 2025, Avatar 4. 2026, another Star Wars movie comes out.
What is happening?
2027, Avatar 5.
What's going on?
It's a lot.
It's number one, if you're excited about seeing four more Avatars.
That was my first question.
Yeah, that's...
You're a creep.
My first question was, I did enjoy the first one. I remember very little about it, but
No one remembers anything. Wait, right. But that's not enjoyable if you can't remember it. I mean, if I quizzed you on Star Wars stuff, you'd know it.
Yes, but I don't even need a second Avatar, let alone eight or however many.
A web series. I don't even need to know that Avatar exists still.
I hear you.
I've heard the Disneyland stuff is cool, but I don't care.
I'm with
Disney World, right?
Yeah. And I have no need for any Avatar.
Yeah.
Am I mad about new Star Wars? No. Are a lot of people? Yes. People are like, it's too much. Disney's ruining everything.
Well,
calm your tees. You're going to be in line. You're going to be seeing it just right along with me.
In their defense, Disney did come out recently and say they were going to take a break from Star Wars movies, and then they released this. This is no
break.
So
they took it a year?
Well, I mean, sure.
After this next one?
There's too many.
And we don't know what the movies are going to center on. So we know that The Rise of Skywalker is going to bring the original Skywalker saga to conclusion. I think when they said we're going to take a break is when everybody was like, oh, new Boba Fett movie and people were like, what, why, what?
Yeah, there were a lot of rumors about all these.
Yeah. New Jar Jar Binks standalone.
Yeah, no.
Guys, I'd see that.
Oh.
I might see that just for comedy's sake.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
All right.
She says now. Mark this down. It just might, you guys. Hey, Meatloaf, maybe get in a bubble because something's not going right with you.
What's happening with Meatloaf?
Meatloaf is recovering from a broken collarbone after tripping and falling off stage during an event over the weekend. He was doing a Q&A session during the 2019 Texas Frightmare Weekend. Made his way across the stage, lost his balance on some loose wires, started to fall, did what we all do. We try to catch yourself from going down, which meant he ultimately fell sideways and off the stage and injured himself. Transported to a hospital nearby, kept overnight, treated for a broken collarbone. But here's where I was like, Meatloaf, what's going on? Meatloaf has collapsed on stage repeatedly in previous years.
Really?
2016. Fell during his concert in Canada, rushed to the hospital. 2011, medics rushed to help him during a Pittsburgh concert, but he did get up and finish that show. 2003, collapsed at Wembley Arena in London, admitted to the hospital. A lot of falling.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like it.
Maybe the thing he won't do for love is stay on the stage.
Oh, he won't do that. He is 71, though. So... I don't know.
I mean, stay away from the edges,
Stay away from the edges. Mm-hmm. And if you know Meatloaf's coming, maybe tie up those loose wires that are possibly in the way that he's going to walk.
Or they could do like when someone on television is walking across a beam and they kind of like tie them in.
Yeah,
so
right.
So they can't actually fall.
Okay.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Just plug them in.
All right. And you could just kind of
pull And there's somebody back. With a belay yeah. line, like, holding on to him, yeah. making yes. sure as
like
in, he falls.
Like in football.
You just pull him right back up.
Yeah, stay off the sideline. Stay on the sideline.
Oh, he can have a get-back guy.
Yeah.
Just kind of holding the small of his back.
I think both. Mm-hmm. Both
does Meatloaf have a small of his back?
I don't know.
Good Interesting question.
Yeah. What other names did Meatloaf think about? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what were the things he threw out?
What do you think?
I don't like that one.
Stage names?
Meatloaf.
Halibut. Yeah. Or like Filet-O-Fish. I'm just like, what else did you think of?
Meatloaf is so...
It's so random.
It's so random, and it's just doesn't... Maybe I just haven't had good meatloaf. Just doesn't conjure up anything that I'd want.
It is a good name physically for him, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He looks like meatloaf.
That is true.
I mean, kick a man when he's down.
Repeatedly.
Repeatedly. Very strange, you guys. Hey, Dave Chappelle. All right. He's next in line to receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Of course, he's a two-time Grammy winner, and he's following previous award winners, including last year's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the year before that, Letterman, year before that, Bill Murray, year before that, Eddie Murphy. Pretty wow. good mm-hmm. right there. Yeah, he's now one of only five black comedians that have won the award since they first started being given out in 1998 to Richard Pryor, along with Eddie Murphy, Bill Cosby, and Whoopi Goldberg have also won the award.
Do they have a system of taking that back in Bill Cosby's case?
I don't know.
Okay. I feel like they could easily just... I mean, they took away all his college degrees, the fake ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They could take it away.
That's what I think, yeah.
Yep.
He fallen too, Dave yeah. Chappelle?
Oh. Well, that was actually Meatloaf. He keeps getting up and falling back down throughout the whole
segment. That's upsetting. Yeah. He should really calm down. Guys, how far have you gone to get a job? Like, to get the attention of the people that are doing the hiring? Have you ever sent, like, a pizza with your resume taped to the box? Something like that?
I have not.
No?
No. Like that. No.
Right.
You?
I haven't. Yeah. But this gentleman, in an attempt to get Disney's attention, a guy that's looking for a job at Disney World, rented out a billboard near the park in Orlando. It reads, "Dear Walt Disney World executives and HR, experienced EA PA professional seeking position as a Walt Disney World assistant." He then lists his phone number and his email address. His name is Brandon Fox, currently lives in New York City, but he did work for Disney World as part of the company's college program. He started off as a character attendant before working his way up to a character captain. But he moved to New York City, and, well, his dreams aren't coming true there. He wants to be back in Orlando at Disney. Has Disney noticed? Well, yes, they have. They said, "We appreciate the creativity. Encourage anyone interested in a role with us to apply at DisneyCareers.com.
I assume, like, Disney's not the kind of company that's going to be driving in and going, "Hey, you see that guy in the billboard?
Yeah, we need him."
Yeah,
for
fell
sure.
Off. Yeah.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Right.
Thank you, sir. So, Brandon Fox, good luck to you. I do wonder how much he paid for that.
Yeah,
if you can pay for that.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
You're doing all right.
Yeah.
You don't need a gig.
Hope he didn't, like, borrow money from his family and stuff.
This is sold everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Aww. I need to be back in the park. Help.
Oh, now I need to do a Google alert for Brandon Fox.
I'm selling all my things.
This is very concerning.
Just let me be Eeyore.
Got real dark, you guys.
I need to be Eeyore.
All right, some birthdays for you. The drummer from Van Halen, Alex Van Halen. Actor, Stephen Amell. And singer, Enrique Iglesias. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
So there's another story out of Florida. And I know we make fun of Florida all the time, but...
it's their fault.
Yeah, it's understandable.
But it's so much worse than every other state.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's neck and neck with anyone else. They're 100% and every other state is...
I know.
It happens every once in a while.
Arizona's miles away. It's
right?
Still in second.
Well, that's possible, too. Mm-hmm. This particular one, the headline is, "Florida woman whips baby gator out of her yoga pants."
Hello!
As traffic stop gets weird.
Oh, then it got weird.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
She pulled a baby alligator out of her yoga pants.
And that's not a metaphor.
Nope.
A literal baby alligator at a traffic stop.
Well, here's the story.
Phrase, "Is that a snake in your pants?" This one is a little different version. Is that a gator in your pants, or are you doing something illegal? Definitely not happy to see if it's a sheriff's deputy.
Yeah, stop trying to make that joke.
For the record, no one says, "Is there a snake in your pants?" Which is what the whole premise is based on. People say, like, "Is there a banana in your pocket?" Or something. Like, there's other... no one ever says, "Is that a snake in your pocket?"
But they say a woman had a gator in her pants.
Yeah, the Florida version of, "Is that a snake in your pants?" That is what...
not
the
a thing!
The Florida
still
version!
Not a thing.
But it's the Florida version!
It's not a thing.
Is that a snake in your pants?
Which isn't a thing.
Okay.
The county sheriff's office says happened early this morning in Punta Gorda.
Tonight, the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office releasing these photos on Twitter after an interesting traffic stop. They say a woman pulled this one-foot alligator out of her yoga pants.
Now, look, a one-foot alligator is pretty... I mean, it's pretty tiny. But isn't that like 6 inches of teeth?
There is technically no too small of an alligator. They're all right. Too big.
It's an alligator and it's in your pants, so that seems bad.
I told some neighbors about it to get their take.
This is always my favorite part of the news because they have to go to the neighbors and go,
yeah,
you'll never believe this, but a woman just pulled an alligator. You know the thing about the snake? Yeah. That's probably how they started.
I love a man on the street that has nothing to do with the story.
No.
That is crazy.
Right?
Good one.
I don't know why anyone would do that.
Mm-hmm. I can't even think of it. I can't fathom the idea.
Unbelievable. People are crazy. You don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, this is all good input.
Right? Relatable.
Thank God they found experts.
It's all good input.
I'm very upset that somebody would come and do that right near my home.
Oh, it's right near her home. Right? That's what she's upset about.
What will I tell my children?
Do it by someone else's house. This woman's fine.
Yeah.
Just not right by her home.
Deputies say it started when they spotted a truck roll through this stop sign at the intersection of Oil Well Road in U.S. 41.
All right, so it's 3:15 a.m., and they just run a stop sign, and somebody's sitting right there and pulls them over.
They say when they pulled over the driver, Michael Clemens, they asked him and his passenger, Ariel Marchand LeQuire, where they were coming from.
All right, so he asked them where they're coming from. So far, so good.
Seems
they said they were collecting turtles and snakes under the overpass down the street.
At 3:15 in the morning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Collecting turtles and snakes from under the overpass.
Maybe at night, that's when they find more?
Does it make me a snob that I'm happy that I don't have to be getting turtles and snakes from under an overpass at 3:15 a.m.? That doesn't seem like your best life.
No.
Yeah.
But it is something we can do at the beach party in Luau Weenie Roast coming up if you want to buy tickets. We can all search the beach for that stuff.
That's true.
Deputies then asked them to open up their backpacks to make sure they didn't collect any wildlife they weren't supposed to have. Turns out, Ariel had more than 40 small turtles in her bag. And then,
you'll never believe it,
pulled an alligator out of her pants.
Now here's the weird thing. They didn't ask her. They just said, is there anything else that we need to know about?
Yeah.
They didn't search her.
No.
Right.
Or see it moving or anything. They just said, Just tell us. Is there anything else? And she goes, yeah, she pulls it out.
An alligator in her pants.
Yes. That happened.
Do we know why she kept the alligator in her pants?
That was her hiding place. Right?
I mean,
that was where she was.
I don't know that there's anything more to it than that.
Also, there is so much fear.
Right, that's my point.
That sounds...
If you're going to, let's say you're going to put it in your pants. But
Okay.
Put it in, with you. Put it in the butt of your pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you have two choices.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems like a horrible thing.
I don't like this.
K-Rock listener Adam, you have to thank for this because he tweeted this at me and then just said, I'm going to leave this link right here and you do with it whatever you'd like.
Some neighbors down the street say the couple should have left the animals where they were.
Oh.
People shouldn't be just dipping into the wildlife and taking it to do what they please with it.
Another great insight.
Yeah, she's bearing the lead here.
Thank you.
It's not really about the animal, although leave animals where you find them, but also, like, it's in her pants. That's the story.
It's disgraceful. They have absolutely no respect for nature at all.
I can't even think of it. I can't fathom the idea.
Unbelievable. People are crazy. You don't know what's going to happen.
How many people did they interview for this story?
And all very varied responses. Yeah. So I'm glad they went to 8 people to say the same thing.
What do you think?
I think it's crazy. Not near my house.
Deputies called Florida Fish and Wildlife officers who took the animals back into the wild, leaving deputies and others.
Does she have a speech impediment or something? Because she says wild. She can't say L's.
I mean, listen, kettle calling it black. Keep
whatever lying. That is, you're right. You're right. I take that.
With a wild story to tell about a woman and snake in her pants.
Wait, there was no snake. No.
But
ever.
That was the lead in from the anchor, so she needed to bring it full circle.
But it wasn't even good.
Correct.
I love the news.
You do.
To tell about a woman and snake in her pants. Jillian Hartman, Fox 4, in your corner.
And she laughed at the end like she was proud of it.
It's the snake in your pants, the whole snake in your pants thing.
There's not a snake in your pants.
I've never even heard it.
I love Florida.
Is there a snake in your pants? You're just happy to see me.
I love Florida, and I especially love that newscast.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We had a comedian in a few days ago named Nate Bergazzi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his dad was a clown.
And he's hilarious.
He's very hilarious. His Netflix special is The Tennessee Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very funny,
yeah.
But I asked him when he came in, the first thing, I was like, Dad, really a clown? Is this something that you exaggerate for comedy's sake?
Yeah. Right.
Here's a little bit of that conversation. Is it true that your dad was a clown and is a magician?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
true.
That's all exact true. Yeah, we have, my first album was called Yelled At by a Clown, and there's a picture, the cover of the picture is me and my dad, and I was like a five, and he's dressed as a clown, and I grew, and that's how he was, grew up, and it was, he was a clown.
Was that his main job?
He was a teacher, too, he always, like, did something like that, but he did a lot of it, he performed at our birthday parties, because you have, like, a clown, like, you have to use him, like,
of course,
free.
Did he make balloon animals?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice. The balloon animals, he would do the whole thing. I had a birthday party when I was, like, seven, and I was, like, tired of it. I wouldn't even want him to be at the party.
Yeah, because he's your dad.
It's your dad.
Yeah.
Yes, and I've seen the tricks. I've watched him not work. Like, he's practicing on me.
This guy was a clown.
Yeah, and also not like a clown on the down low. Like a clown when he had parties, like dad's working.
Yeah. Right.
Like his own parties.
What kind of clowns are on the down low, Jensen? Kind of down low clowns.
Well, I mean, like a high key clown.
Okay.
Would be like, you know, like, oh, he's always working. Down low, sure, is like, oh, I don't mix my home life and my work life.
Oh, so no, oh, one, okay, knows really, okay, that.
Right.
That
it's like a bartender who doesn't drink at home.
Shut up.
And that's a thing?
I mean, sure.
So it was such a weird conversation to have with somebody, and to think that somebody had to grow up with a clown as a dad.
It's not easy.
It's just the...
Any photo of you as a child with a clown is also possibly from a horror movie.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If it's like kind of faded or whatever, mm-hmm, and it's just you and a smiling clown, mm-hmm, that, I don't think it's joyful.
Has there ever been a joyful clown movie or TV show?
Bozo.
A fun clown.
Yeah, Bozo.
Like
Bozo's
Bozo. Very friendly.
Yeah.
And I don't think
never trusted Bozo,
the whole
though,
thought of like a scary clown came until like couple decades ago. People started like, oh, I'm afraid of clowns. Like, that became the thing to say.
Maybe.
I don't think people were really afraid of clowns before it became...
Right, but even if you're not afraid of clowns, your dad's a clown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even if they're not... There's not all that negative connotation to it now.
When my dad would work early, you know, like, he would come... my dad sold cars, and he would walk in the bedroom and be like, goodbye, see you later, I'm going to work. Like, imagine being asleep, and you're, like, 8 years old, and your dad's like, I'm going to work. And you look up, and it's just a clown. Just, like,
right?
Looking down at you.
Wouldn't you just honk his nose, though? Like, have a good day, Dad.
I think, for the first couple times, and then it would get old.
I was the dad, I'd be like, I'm going to work, wake up. And then I'd just have, like, blood coming out of my mouth.
And you'd have that little horn.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Betty, you hold on, please. I want to talk to Polo, mm-hmm, in Rosemead. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, my tenant is a clown. He's a Mexican clown. And he's been my tenant for about 20 years. And I remember the first time. We have a pit bull, you know, and he'll scare anybody. And, oh, my God. The first time he ever saw him, it was about maybe 10 years ago, he scared the hell out of him, and he loves humans. And he came in with his, he came in like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, my brother was walking him outside, and he had his makeup all like, you know, like, it was like a drunken night, you know, a woman at drunken night, just all bad makeup and everything, and, you know, he had just started taking it off, but he hadn't taken it completely off, you know, and the dog just ever since, he's just, he treats him like, oh my God, he wants to kill him, you know?
Oh, I thought you were saying the pit bull was scared of the clown, no?
Oh, the pit bull is very scared of the clown, but now he wants to kill him.
He wants to kill him out of defense mechanism.
He's like that, and he's scared of the dog now.
Wow.
You know? But he's a Mexican clown. He's like,
what is the difference between a Mexican clown and, let's say, a white clown?
Well, one's a clown, one's a payaso.
Exactly.
See, exactly. As for that.
Yeah, you got the horns. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but I'm telling you, though, there's so much more to it that I even never realized, you know? It's like, you know, he tells jokes. Well, he has a little trouble because, you know, doesn't speak much English.
Right.
But he was one of the first clowns in Santa Monica, and there's a lot of competition out there now, you know?
Is there?
A lot of rivalries, you know? It's like almost gang warfare out there.
Well, there's no clown rivalry gang warfare.
He's saying there's a clown gang.
I'm telling you. They fight for spots out there.
Yeah, like Third Street Promenade? Absolutely. You want that ideal spot.
You'll throw it down with another clown?
100%.
I know a clown who got shanked over his spot.
Really?
Yeah, he used to hang out Third Street, and he was like, you know, they were fighting over territory, and one day a guy just pulled out a glass shank.
But they'd have conventions where you would learn how to make stuff, you know, like balloon animals and stuff like that. And
then, Can you imagine going to those conventions? Oh. What a group of just crazy people that would be.
I mean,
that's a dream.
Polo.
And he said he would make them laugh. Imagine trying to make a clown laugh. Oh, my God.
No. I don't want to imagine it, Polo. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067, I believe, is the number. We'll take your calls next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Let's take one phone call. It's amazing how many calls we have.
It's terrifying.
On the topic of your dad was a clown. Who knew that was a thing? Dave is calling us from Glendale. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
All right, yeah, my dad was a clown. He bought a merry-go-round in the 50s and drove it out from Philadelphia to here because of nicer weather, so he could work year-round. And his name was Bumbo. I'm sure many of your listeners had him as a clown.
Dave, Bumbo was he's
famous.
Renowned.
You have
clown.
A famous dad.
Oh,
clown.
Yeah, he was in the Guinness Book of World Records. Unfortunately, the oldest male stripper was on the opposite page.
Well, that's a pretty good clown.
Wait, what record did he have? The oldest clown?
Oh, the oldest working clown, yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine kids' parties are like, do you get a clown? Yeah. Which one? The oldest one. Fantastic.
I got bumped.
Yeah, well, you know, you get what you get. But anyway, he came home one time, because he had high standards, the clown. He came home one time, and he would not pee when he was out doing parties, because he didn't want the kids to see him going to the bathroom, because then he's a man and not a clown, you know?
Is there no restroom in this story?
No,
he scared the kids will walk in and be like, the clown's peeing.
Is there no lock in the restroom?
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
I think there's a scene in Shakes that does that. But anyway, so he came home one time after, you know, holding it for 4 or 5 hours. And our job as kids is we'd have to run out and meet him and, you know, help him pack up the merry-go-round and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he got out of the cab of his truck and just stood there and kind of did that clown cry where he went, and he's just peed, just ran out of the bottom of his clown.
Dave!
That's the most touching story I've ever heard.
Oh, Dave, that's the sweetest clown story.
So beautiful.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We loved him. He's a good man.
We love him, too.
Bumbo the clown,
he was like a OC hero.
Who knew we'd get a famous one?
Exactly. The other thing is he used to lecture me, because I'm a professional drummer. He used to lecture me about, you know, you better have a backup plan, because you can't be a drummer for a living. I said, Dad, you're a freaking clown.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough.
It's hard to be the standard.
All right. Thank you for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. It's normal for everybody to kind of assume that the way you were raised is the way everybody else was raised until you hear the story of a guy whose dad is a clown and a famous one even.
Yeah. And then also his dad, it appeared, did a bit where he held in his pee.
It wasn't a bit from what I could tell.
Well, then he clown laughed, which does seem like it was part of a setup.
Sure.
I was thinking about that during the break. Because if he did the clown laugh, he's kind of doing a bit.
I agree.
Watch me pee my pants, kids.
I agree. Yeah. So, strange upbringing. Let's go to James in Anaheim. I was afraid maybe we wouldn't get enough calls, but we have plenty.
Yeah.
James, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
It wasn't my father. It was my grandparents and my uncle.
Oh.
And my uncle is, my grandparents owned a circus for 30 years.
Wow.
And my uncle is almost 60 years old, and he is still a clown. He's been a clown since he was about 8 years old.
Did you ever think, James, did you ever think you wanted to get into the family trade?
Oh, I've done it several times.
You have?
Several times. I've traveled across the United States probably 8 or 9 times with my uncle and done specialty shows for corporations.
Wow.
And, yeah, we've had... my uncle's made a living out of it. He also is a circus collector and has one of the largest circus memorabilia collections in the world.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Okay.
Is that room is that room cool or is it scary?
Oh, it's a whole house. I mean, it's
a whole house of clown crap.
Circus stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
James, unbelievable. I got to say, I'm happy you sound pretty calm and normal for a guy raised around clown and circus memorabilia.
I haven't killed anybody yet.
Oh, good to hear.
I like that he says yet.
Yeah,
that's good.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, thanks, James.
Thank you, James. Let's go to Betty. You don't think about this necessarily being a thing. Betty in Long Beach. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. What do you do with clowns?
Well, I am an agent for actually a few different musical acts. Mm-hmm. But one of them happens to be sort of a Elvis clown kind of thing.
Elvis Presley clown.
Like a mashup.
Yes, his name is Clown Vis Presley.
Well, could have done better with the name. I don't know what the name is.
Doesn't seem like they put a lot of work into that.
Seems like maybe your first job as an agent could be to get a more creative name. But what? So this Clown Vis, he does clown act, but then also does songs from Elvis?
Not quite. So actually just only one or two of his songs are Elvis Presley covers. Mm-hmm. It's mostly parody songs. So think of like Weird Al kind of stuff.
He even covers
like the Reading Rainbow song, if you want to be completely random.
I mean, take a look. It's in a book.
I'm trying to think, is there a better LeVar Burton name that they... I mean, I feel like it's weird he picked Elvis, but only does 2 Elvis songs and dresses like Elvis.
I would like Elvis Clown to introduce a band at Weenie Roast.
Oh.
Right?
He has done hosting plenty of times. His most recent LA appearance was actually here at the Regent for the Eric Andre birthday bash.
Oh,
well, this is all making perfect sense.
Now it makes sense.
Yes, now that you bring him in, I'm all in.
Right. Okay. Now I'm fully in. I was on the fence, but now I think I understand Clownvis a little better.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. He is a professional. I know it sounds cheesy, but just look him up. You'll see It's insane. It's side stitch funny.
All right, Betty. Betty's a good agent.
And there's some magic. There's some magic.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot of magic, to be honest. Yeah. Wow.
Let's not be ridiculous. Yeah, all right, please. Michelle in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Can I just interrupt real quick? Yeah. I just Googled Clown Vis Presley, and the first YouTube video that comes up is "Don't be a bitch or you won't get stuff for Christmas" by Clown Vis. What's
That's the name of one of his.
Oh my gosh, guys! Clownvis went to the gathering of the Juggalos
in 2018. We need Clownvis.
We need Clownvis.
Wait, I think we should get involved with Clownvis
for real.
For real.
Okay.
All right, let's work on that behind the scenes.
He was on America's Got Talent too.
Oh, he has a Twitter. It's just Clownvis.
All right, let's take one more call. Let's make it Michelle in Los Angeles. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I'm not sure I can follow Clownvis very well.
None of us can.
Who could, though?
Yeah. True.
Exactly. So my mom, when I was about 12, decided to take a class from Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus.
Okay, this is the first time now that we've heard of a female, a mom doing this.
Yes. Yeah. So mom decided to be a hobby clown. And so she took this class on how to do the makeup and how to do the balloons and all that stuff. And when she was done with it, she decided to hire herself out to sort of, local church things and local school things. And she decided to dress me and my 2 younger brothers up as mini clowns with her.
Oh,
I mean,
wow. So smart.
Is there a lot of call for clowns in the church community for their events?
You know, they do birthday parties and socials and things like that. So, hey, you know, there's a clown and a little clown family. And she made all of our outfits match, and she made them out of, like, purple curtain material. I think I'm still scarred.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah. Michelle.
Is it a good memory or a bad memory? Because it seems like that wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun because I knew all the people that we were performing for. They were my classmates.
Oh, no. Did they just mock you?
Yes, yes, there was a lot of mocking.
That sucks.
And to, you know, just as a little aside, my mom was a tenured university professor in her real life. Mm-hmm. So this was just something she decided to do on the side.
Of course she was tenured. You're not. You don't become a clown if you're not tenured.
No, you have to have that kind of security in your life. Also, you showed those bullies because you and your clown family went and burned down all their houses, right, Michelle?
I don't want to incriminate myself.
Okay, fair enough. Good
deal. No worries. No worries. Thank you for calling.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Clown this. Right?
Yes.
Did he reach out to us on Twitter?
He sure did. At Kevin and Bean. Heard the mention. Down to chat with y'all anytime. Love the show. DM me. We will be sliding into your DMs, Clownvis. Don't you worry.
I'm excited that we have pretty much a new member of the team.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
I'm going to say Jensen, Kevin, and Clownvis.
I know. That does sound right.
It kind of works.
It does work.
But it's kind of two of the same, so I'm...
Right.
I don't know.
Two clowns?
Anthony Jeselnik is coming up next. First, Allie is here with What's Happening.
Can I also say, who's a better agent than Betty?
Yeah, she was pretty good. Wins.
Right?
Yeah. Little did she know she'd be creating an icon just by one call.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you think other clown agents are like,
I missed
my opportunity.
Betty did it again.
Like Betty's calling them right now going, sucker.
I have Chlorissy. It's my clown Morrissey.
I hate you right
Chlorissy.
Now.
My mom Chlorissy died of Chlorissy.
I want Chlorissy to exist so badly.
Chlorissy is what you use when you're trying to kidnap someone. You're like, I just brought me some Chlorissy. Knocked some right
rope,
out.
Some rope and some Chlorissy.
This is very disturbing, you guys. Very disturbing. So I told you a little while ago about Dave Chappelle. He's going to receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Not bad. He's following previous award winners like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, David Letterman, Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy. But also another win for Dave Chappelle. He won a lawsuit against a man who threw a banana peel at him during one of his stand-up shows.
That's so hacky.
The Blast reports that a judge in New Mexico has ordered that all claims against Chappelle be dismissed in the case brought against him by Christian Englander. The suit claimed that he threw a peel at Chappelle, and then the comedian's bodyguard responded by hitting him in the face as security detained him.
Yeah, what is this, Mario Kart? Where do you throw banana peels?
You chuck a banana peel at me, my security is going to bop you in the face.
I feel like they should just go, security was correct, move
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely, that's what they did. So good. You're out of luck, Christian Englander. And you brought a banana to a comedy show.
Yeah, you weirdo.
Like, this was premeditated. You're a whack job.
So dumb.
Allegedly.
And you've been insulted, and you deserve reprimand.
Reparations?
Thank you.
I would have let him sit.
I mean, I was going to sit for a while.
Could have been here for quite some time.
He's the one that's mad. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. Stupid. So, Kelly Clarkson has realized it was, quote, kind of stupid of her to host the 2019 Billboard Music Awards while battling appendicitis.
Yeah.
If you recall, Kelly not only hosted, but she performed twice for fans during the 3-hour ceremony before dashing off to undergo emergency surgery. But she assured fans that she was feeling awesome in a Twitter post right after the operation. And she admitted the recovery period super duper sucks because it just so happens she's not a real great patient, she says. So Kelly does credit the adrenaline rush that she experienced on stage with helping her play through some of the pain. But she said as soon as she wrapped up her duties as host, the extent of her pain really kicked in. So
that's crazy to work through that.
That it's is nuts. Crazy. It's dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous.
I called in sick one day just because I had a hangnail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a bad one, though.
Yeah, it was awful.
It lasted like 3 days.
Yeah.
Jensen wouldn't come in.
All weirdly bloody.
The weird thing is, she said that although it was kind of stupid, she said that her doctor had signed off on the big gig just hours earlier. So they had originally said it was appendicitis all week that she was experiencing these symptoms. So couldn't your appendix burst at any moment?
Yeah. My understanding is yes.
So I think, weird.
That is weird.
Doctor is also her agent and owns the Billboard Music Awards. That's not true.
That makes sense.
I just made that up.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Part up, you guys. Have you ever heard about this this dating website called beautifulpeople.com?
No.
I have not.
Me neither, but it launched in 2002 and boasts that it's rejected about 8.5 million hopeful users for not being attractive enough.
Oh.
So a poll of a poll of 3,000 members of the site revealed the physical traits that they found undesirable, which is stuff that's likely to get applicants rejected from the site.
Mm-hmm.
Both men and women polled say that obesity, having an unsightly nose, bad mouth and teeth, bad skin, unkempt grooming, and eyes too far apart or close together are all traits that will get you rejected. At the same time, women say that they write off candidates who are too short, have ungroomed facial or body hair, are balding, have bad posture, have dirty or long nails, and guys that are too effeminate, too skinny, too scrawny.
What's and, left? What is left?
Men said having a shapeless or poor figure with no butt or too much butt is a problem, and they don't like skinny fat, you know, skinny people that aren't toned up. So they listed all of these things that will get you, you know, ixnayed from the site. You're not even going to make it on there. But there is hope, you guys. Managing director of beautifulpeople.com, Greg Hodge, said that so many of the ugly traits are easily fixable, which means potentially there's a bigger market of beautiful people out there just hidden behind excess weight, bad teeth, or lack of grooming.
This place is... I hope they have a meetup that I can... fall into the ocean.
Sounds like a real fun website that honestly nobody had heard of, so I don't think they're doing a real great job of marketing, and this kind of marketing sure not going to draw a lot of people to it, but
maybe people will try to get in it. I don't know.
You think so?
Maybe. To try. I mean, if they're rejecting everyone, I doubt you're going to make it.
Yeah, they've rejected 8.5 million hopeful users.
But you're a loser.
Would you want to be on that service? Because then you would meet other people that feel this way about every little thing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think that would be bad.
Yeah, I'm not that into it, guys.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Okay. Paramount Network is expanding the reality competition series Ink Master with 2-season renewal. So two more seasons, you guys. So when do you think, or what do you think is the big premiere of its what season coming up? How many seasons?
How many seasons has Ink Master?
I could have worded all of that better. I chose
not
to.
Yeah, but I understood it perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you.
You think six. I'm going to go 14.
The tattoo competition will premiere its 12th season.
Jeez.
Titled Ink Master Battle of the Sexes.
Too much
TV. Tuesday, June 11th. That new season features teams of male and female artists competing against each other in the ultimate battle for a chance to win $100,000. An editorial feature in Inked and the coveted Ink Master title. They also announced an order for a spin-off series that's going to be titled Ink Master Grudge Match. And that's former contestants that have the opportunity to settle vendettas with their biggest rivals. That will premiere in the fall. I mean, I feel like we're now like super up on the ink after
That's
Bean
odd.
Got tattooed, right?
That's super odd that they have a grudge match.
A grudge match.
No one's beaten Bean's tattoo. Come on.
No. True. So good. I mean, Clownvis, right? Have you stopped thinking about Clownvis?
No, I have not.
No, he's following me on Twitter.
Is he?
Luck out.
He just started.
Why didn't... is Clownvis not following me? I'm the one that brought you up, Clownvis. I'm the reason for you.
I mean,
I made you, Clownvis.
I mean, Betty's the caller that told us about
whatever, Clownvis, you dumb bitch. You better follow me.
Whoa!
I mean, it took
he's
a
our
turn.
Friend.
Took a turn.
Calm down. He's joining the show.
Right? He's going to be sitting where you are in a couple of days.
Believable.
Happy birthday, Enrique Iglesias, Stephen Amell, Alex Van Halen, and Clownvis, because every day is his birthday.
Happy birthday, Clownvis.
That's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Anthony Jeselnik is here. Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah! A little slow. Sorry on the timing of the whole thing.
Smooth. Very smooth.
It's a good start.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
It's fun to watch your special, Fire in the Maternity Ward, which was... I mean, do you love making people angry? Because I feel like, I know you do it in fun, but I feel like maybe you get some joy out of them being mad.
When people get mad, I enjoy offending the humorless, if you will.
Okay.
But I don't want, anger's not my goal. I want that, like, I want a shock of like, oh no, and then you laugh anyway.
Mm-hmm. Laugh
I'm trying
along
to make you laugh despite yourself. That's the ultimate
I do
goal.
Love that the parts I laughed hardest at, you were reprimanding the audience for not laughing enough at. So I was like, yes, yeah. I would do so good in that audience. Mm-hmm. You literally yelled at your audience that they just weren't getting it.
And they're laughing.
Yes.
It's like they're laughing anyway, and I'm just yelling because they're not laughing enough.
Hard enough.
Me. Yeah. That's really fun.
And
to
for
do.
Me, for me, it's fun because we're living in a world where we're supposed to be very politically correct, and we're supposed to watch what we're laughing at. But with Anthony, it's almost like he's questioning. You know, this is funny. Like we have to. I mean, not that I'm saying everyone's being a snowflake or whatever, but with you, you're so good at walking that line between finding that spot inside everyone where you know it's funny and it's also very dark.
Yeah, I work hard on the joke itself so that it becomes unimpeachable. Like, you're mad at the subject, mm-hmm. but you're like, that was clever. Like, he got me.
Right.
And that's always the ultimate goal. And I think that because I've been doing this now for 17 years, I've been grandfathered in. And if I started today, yeah. I wouldn't be able to get away with anything.
I think that's true of a lot of people. Unfortunately, that's true of a lot of people. But yeah. You do firmly jump over the line and then say, I dare you not to laugh.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to be on the other side of that line. You know what I mean? It's not as fun.
Well, like growing up, who were your influences in that way, like comedy wise?
I mean, Stephen Wright was a big one for me, just that very clever, smart joke. How did he think of it?
Mm-hmm.
But Sarah Silverman was cool. You know, she was cool and dirty and crossed the line in a way that I was like, oh, like comedy can be sexy. I always thought of comedy as like the guy in the Hawaiian shirt and the bad haircut that he got on purpose.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that.
You didn't want to be that guy to go at Gallagher so directly, but yeah. Sure.
But when I saw Sarah Silverman, I was like, oh, you can do it like that. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to be like. That's
and awesome. She's one of the most creative, I think, comedians in a long time. For doing what she does, it's almost impossible to make you laugh, and she's able to do it. And I just, I don't
and
know.
And she's
how,
evolved so much.
Yeah,
she's also hasn't been just that one tone forever.
Totally evolved, like almost a 180, but just the charisma is still there and the love is still there that I'll watch whatever she does.
So cool.
You talk about family members. Are they upset at you ever?
No one's ever actually.
Ever?
Well, they're all dead.
I mean, an uncle. I get to kill them and resurrect them every new special.
Which is nice.
My family likes it because I'm not really talking about them. Mm-hmm. If I've told real stories, they would be embarrassed, but they like that I make things up. But I had like a great aunt who came and she was like, Anthony, I'm so proud of you. She's like almost 100 years old at like a family reunion. She's so excited and she's like, I'm just so proud of you. And then I see her a couple months later and I'm like, Aunt Rose, how are you? And she's like, I saw your act.
You're kidding.
And if the your grandfather was alive, he would beat you. And I go, lucky for me, he's dead.
Can you imagine what she thought of you at that point?
Yeah, they're all really proud. They're like, oh, Anthony's on TV. And then they go look it up and they're like, oh my God, like, this guy's a monster.
Do people in social settings know how to deal with you?
No. No, I have like a mystique where people are afraid of me.
Uh-huh.
And it used to bother me. I'd be like, oh, I'm meeting these famous people now, people I admire. And they don't want to talk to me because they're just like, what's this guy going to say to me?
Yeah, he's a pariah.
And I told that to Jeff Ross, and he goes, no, it's your mystique. And I was like, oh, I have mystique?
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
So now I like that people kind of leave me alone unless they're like huge fans and they know that I'm not really like that.
Yeah.
But I like that little buffer.
You it's like nice. To not have that little... small talk that is so painful at parties.
Yeah, you don't think I'm not on stage being everyone's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the opposite.
You're not on stage being no one's friend.
Yeah, so people give me a wide berth, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, because I think like if he were to be kind to me at a party or something, I'd be like, he's messing with me.
Yeah, exactly.
he's messing with me.
Oh, I just don't get it, but he's messing with me.
But then I'd be like, nah, he's a great guy. Like, he walks away.
Yeah, it takes people off guard, and yeah. I like people being off guard when they deal with me. And if I do, and I have that, it's like I'm a really nice guy, but I'm still holding a knife.
You know, that, like, you're holding a knife with a smile.
Exactly.
That's you.
Yeah, I can still do things with that knife, but I'm a nice guy.
I know a lot about this because I saw the Ted Bundy doc. So Jeselnik is our generation's Ted Bundy.
I like that if you watch my special, the next thing it refers you to is the Ted Bundy doc. That is nice.
Because you liked Anthony Jeselnik, that's the next one.
You'll like
that's
this
delightful.
Serial killer story.
Do people ever let you hold their child now?
I have a niece, a nephew, who are like brand new.
That's not an answer
and
yet.
I'm allowed to hold them.
Okay.
My
but sister, they're watching.
My sister trusts me.
Yeah.
Oh, they're watching me closely. Yeah. There's nanny cams everywhere.
Yeah. Because
but otherwise, I don't think strangers would ever let me hold their baby.
Yeah, because there's a large chunk of this special where it talks about how you find happiness in maybe dropping a baby.
Yeah. it's one of my favorite parts of the special. But also, like, I don't want to hold you, baby.
Right?
No.
You know?
Come on.
I've had people be like, would you like to hold the baby? No. And they look at me like I'm crazy, but like, right. Why would I want this? It's
everybody's
not my
supposed
baby.
To love other people's babies. You
yeah,
don't know
I've
that?
Got, I've got God kids, the mm-hmm. niece and the nephew that I adore, who I spoil, but other babies,
yeah.
other babies it. Can kick rocks.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, I have kids and I don't want to hold anyone else's baby. It's just, no. That's your thing.
I'm weeks away from having my first baby.
Oh.
And I realized recently I don't like babies. I'm going to like mine, I think. People say even if you don't like babies, you're going to love your own. But I don't think babies are cool, really.
You're turning on pretty hard now?
No, I don't think I've ever liked babies.
I've heard it's like a 50-50 thing. Like when you see your own child, half the time you're like, oh, I love this. This is mine. And the other half, you're like, peace out.
Well, good luck with that 50%,
Well,
Jensen.
I'll roll the dice.
Yeah.
Like I'll try my hardest.
Anthony Jeselnik is here. The special again is called Fire in the Maternity Ward. It's on Netflix now. If you'd like to watch it, it's fantastic. We will take a break and come right back.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Anthony Jeselnik is in the studio with us.
It's
a lovely abrupt. Applause.
Mm-hmm. It's quick.
Got a new special on Netflix called Fire in the Maternity Ward, and it's very, very funny. I wanted to ask you, when you craft jokes, do you try desperately to cut out as many words as you can? Because your jokes are so...
concise.
Yes, very concise.
I cut out as many words as I can. I think that's just good writing. I think if you're writing a novel or a poem or whatever it is, cut out as many jokes as you can. But I just found that it was just the most efficient way to get the laugh. You know, you're trying to... You leave a red herring?
Uh-huh.
In the setup, and then blow it out of the water in the punchline. But the fewer words you can use, the I think the bigger the laugh.
I was fascinated by something you recently posted on Twitter because we all saw Thoughts and Prayers and loved it. It was amazing.
Thank you.
And then it took you 3 years to craft this special. And you posted on Twitter every single, set list mm-hmm. for the last 3 years. And then you would show where you'd cross stuff off, where you'd circle it, where you'd move it to, and how you essentially crafted it in those 3 years. That is fascinating.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to show like the journey of what it took to go from you walk on stage with 6 jokes.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get 15 minutes together so you can go perform. And then it eventually turns into an hour over years. Like I took a year in L.A. going up at the Comedy Store in Largo and building that 40 minutes. Then went to
how
clubs
many times
for
a week?
A year.
How many times a week would you go?
5 or 6. I mean, wow. I didn't take a lot of time off. And because you have to kind of embarrass yourself
you
in order to want to go write some more.
Still?
You know? Oh, yeah, still.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm doing right now is going up with all new stuff and being like, this is awful. I got to go write some more. And then I went to clubs for a year. So you're doing 5 shows in a weekend. And then by the end of that year, it was like an hour. I took it to theaters for an entire year. And then recorded at the end of that year. I wanted to really make
That's
sure it was bulletproof. Yeah, but I think a lot of people are putting out specials now without putting the work in. Because Netflix
That's
is
true.
Just saying, if you want a special, here you go.
Yeah.
And people are like, I got an hour, but is it good?
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to people who are like, I'm taping my special tomorrow. I just need 10 more minutes. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, God.
Is it rare to find a comedian that works as hard as you do at that? I mean, do most of them sort of wing it because they know they're funny?
I think you get to a level where the audience will applaud and laugh at you just because they know you already and you have kind of that like that backstory they're already working with, they're already a fan. But I like to be so hateable on stage that the jokes have to be great even if you're already a fan. Like I feel like I've raised the bar that if I just went out there and just talked, that people would be disappointed, and I can't have that.
I think, like, when you talk about that, one of the most complex aspects to Anthony, and I've been a fan for a long time, is that you I don't know if you've been doing it lately, because I know it's a very light line right now, but like, you used to tweet the first joke after every tragedy.
Mm-hmm. I would go to his Twitter just to see what it was.
And yeah. And I mean, we're talking like real tragedies, not small things, like really large ones. And what was your approach to that? Like, what was it that made you feel that was important?
Ego. I would just see something like, this is so horrible, and then because it's horrible, I would think of the worst thing you could possibly say.
And then you went past that by a mile.
Yeah, if I thought, like, I'm going to tweet this out and no one else could think of this. Mm-hmm. But eventually people started catching on and tweeting their own jokes. That I was like, I would tweet a joke. Someone would be like, oh, someone tweeted this half an hour ago.
Ugh.
And so I was like, oh, well, I'm not competing with people. Yeah. It's something that I did alone.
You're trying to be the guy who does it.
That's a super weird thing anyway. I mean,
yeah, but not to be like existentialist about it if he's not going to be. But I always think that it does a service in a way. I think that it because people can be angry immediately about it, but also like it desensitizes it for a second. And as much as that, it like
takes some of the pain out of it
a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if it's just one person doing it, from that point on, it hacks won't do it, I guess, is what I'm thinking in my mind. Like people who are terrible at it, there's someone who has a history with it and knows what's going on, and at least we can get that out of the way immediately. I don't know. I feel like it's more important than you sold to death.
I mean, if you can get the right joke and make someone laugh on the day of a tragedy, it's great.
Yes. The day of a tragedy.
Bad jokes.
Usually within like,
day of. Yeah.
Day of.
I don't want to wait. If you wait, then it's kind of, then I think that's lame. Like, what service are you doing, really? But if you, like, the day of, people are upset, and then you laugh, and you're like, oh, it's going to be okay. It might take a week, but I'm going to get over this. And now there's a tragedy every couple of days.
Yeah. If that,
you know, it's different. And I've kind of just gotten bored with it. You know, I did it for so long, and Twitter is not what it used to be.
Right.
That I don't feel the need to run on. But if I think of something the moment, then I'll throw it up.
Yeah. I can't imagine what goes on inside your head when something goes wrong in the morning and you go, okay, this is my chance.
I just think
that's a weird thing.
It's just ridiculous to me how awful the world can be.
Like, yeah.
It's absurd how just completely horrible things can get that. The only thing I can do is throw a joke out.
Yeah, what joke is going to be worse than having a school shooting every day?
Yeah.
Like, what can he say that's more offensive than the idea that we haven't regulated any guns? Like, that's how I see it.
And people going on and being sincere feels very fake to me on Twitter when they're like, we need to do something now. It's like, is this tweet going to help? I don't think so.
No.
Why not make a joke?
Yeah.
Because most people can't.
Yeah.
Like that, you're getting into scary area there where people try and fail. And if they fail miserably when there's a tragedy, I mean, that's just terrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not just on Twitter, but like I'll get invited to benefits. They'll be like, we're doing a benefit for this cause. And I'm like, you don't want me there. Because I'll walk out and I'll make fun of what the benefit's for. And then everyone hates me and I ruin the show.
What is the worst situation that's happened to you which been misunderstood in that way? Like booked wrong?
Oh, yeah. I did something, years ago, it was like there was an earthquake in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and I was like, I'm starting a charity that teaches Cubans to eat rubble.
Oh.
And the entire crowd was just like, just completely shocked. I was like, yeah, I'm not a great guy to have on a benefit.
Rubble.
This is not good. But I can't help it.
That's just the way you work.
Yeah.
It's my favorite signature. It's good.
All right. We're out of time. Unfortunately, before we go, we're going to have 60 seconds with Allie. She's going to fire some questions at you, and you just give her the first thing that comes to your mind.
Hit me.
The special is Anthony Jeselnik, Fire in the Maternity Ward. It's on Netflix
right now.
And it's fantastic.
Yes.
Allie?
Besides Debbie, could you kill someone again and get away with it? Would you?
Yes.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Flight.
Will the Steelers ever beat the Pats when it matters?
Seems very guided.
Mm-hmm. I would be happy if we just injured Tom Brady.
All right, fair. Do you tell friends when they have a bat in the cave?
Yes.
What was your first job?
My first job, swimming instructor.
Mm. Oh, terrifying. That's been horrible.
I was not good at it.
First celebrity crush.
First celebrity crush, Elizabeth Shue.
Good one.
Oh, nicest person in Hollywood.
Me.
Worst person in Hollywood.
Me.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
Everyone just called me Jeselnik.
That sucks. Have you ever thought about gunning it at a stop sign when someone walks past you in a crosswalk?
Every time.
You can only bring one album to a deserted island. Which one?
White Stripes Elephant.
Oh, nice. Pineapple on pizza. No or yes, I'm a monster.
Wait, what was it?
Pineapple on pizza. No or yes, I'm a monster.
Yes, I'm a monster. I'll eat a Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, Anthony.
I'm ham and pineapple? It's good. It's good sometimes. You don't smoke pot, do you?
I don't like ham, so.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Then what's your excuse?
I like bacon. I don't like ham.
Oh, that is weird.
What?
Yeah. Ham is like, ugh, if I want something salty in my mouth, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, great.
That's why you're you and I'm me.
All right, good point.
Thank you for coming in, Anthony.
Thanks
we appreciate
for having
it.
Me, guys.
You bet.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
That's brand new Blink.
It is good.
Blink 182 called Blame It on My Youth.
That's like an anthem.
I love that so much.
You.
Why?
Because I said it was an anthem. And then he's like, oh, it's an anthem.
Jensen just said it was an anthem.
I said it was an anthem off the air.
Off air doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You are it doesn't such count. A stealing no. dick.
And Blake, of course, is going to be touring with Lil Wayne as
which
well.
Which is a good pairing. I
think so, too.
I said it was a good pairing.
Oh, stop.
Off air, though. Off air. Again, on air is the only thing that counts. I think, in my opinion, a lot of people were like, that's a weird pairing. Why would. I was like, that's perfect.
I liked it immediately.
Yeah, they'll completely connect with mm-hmm. both audiences.
Do we have Travis? Can we call Travis?
Sure.
Let's see if he's...
Let's call Travis.
Number one, I don't think Travis Barker sits around waiting for his phone to ring, but this is worth it, I guess.
I don't know. It depends on if we have the right number.
this is vintage Kevin Ryder.
If it's the wrong number, we're in trouble.
This could go either way.
We're going to ask whoever it is what it's going to be
like.
If
it's a dry cleaners.
To tour with yeah. Lil Wayne.
Whatever it is.
Hello?
Travis!
Yes!
How are you?
Hey!
Look at that. That worked.
It worked. Travis Barker, welcome.
On?
Hey, we just played your new song, Blame It On My Youth,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
I heard a really smart girl say it's like an anthem.
No, I didn't hear that.
It is kind of an anthem.
Yeah, it is, Travis. Yeah, it is.
Everything was awesome was already taken, so we replaced it with that one, you know?
Love it. Well, we love the new song, and we were just talking about Blink and Lil Wayne touring. And what a great idea that seems like. And we were surprised that not everyone bought into it immediately. I think it sounds awesome.
I know. I feel like everyone's blaming me for it.
The hip-hop guy, yeah.
No, you know, and it wasn't even... it had been brought up by our agent, and I was like, wow, that's the best idea ever. And, of course, you don't have to twist my arm. Like,
yeah.
I toured with Wayne in 2006 and 2007, and... You know, I've collaborated with him many times or whatever, and he loves rock music. It's actually, I think it's just 2019, and some people don't realize that. And, like, music's music. It's not, you know, like, that's why festivals are so great nowadays is
yeah.
you go and you see, like, however many different styles of groups. Like, that's why Coachella is awesome.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, anything like that. Europe's been doing it for years.
Look,
so,
I just love the idea.
I'm really excited.
I just love the idea that it's not Blink 182 and almost Blink 182. You know what I mean? Like, it's completely separate acts, and I love that.
And the crossover, though, is going to be huge between the fans.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And we get to hear Travis do drums on a Millie, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, I'll play it. With him whatever, you know, whenever he wants. But, yeah, I mean, that mashup, I had actually, we were thinking of ways to announce the tour. And I came up with this mashup between What's My Age Again and a Millie. And
then, that was on your Instagram, right?
Yeah, I put it on my Instagram. Yeah. But no, like, I had mashed it up, like, just in the computer. And I was like, oh, this is dope. Because my manager had said, like, that'd be a cool way to announce the tour. Why don't you do a mashup? And I did a mashup. And then everyone heard it and was like, whoa, why don't we actually recreate that in real life? And then that's where that video came from. But I think people are under the impression that we're going to be hybriding, like, you know, songs live, like a live mashup songs.
Yeah.
Which, no, it was just like something fun to do to announce the tour, you know?
So it's not going to be like Elton John and Billy Joel when they tour together and do each other's songs?
No, but that would be kind of awesome.
Right? It'd be so awesome.
Where
what
did
I would give.
Right?
You know, Hoppus is laying down like 16 bars of Wayne. That'd be great.
That would be great.
You're literally, I just bought tickets. With the new song, like, who produced the new track?
Okay, so Tim Pagnotta, mm-hmm. produced the song. That we basically, we had gotten a studio, and we were just kind of, I don't know, just vibing, and it actually started from like a beat I had. You know, I'll go in like and write, you know, whatever, 20, 30 beats to get ready for sessions. And we were just kind of like listening to other stuff I'd worked on. I said, well, I have this beat and no one's got on it yet. If it sparks an idea, and then everyone really loved that idea. And then it became something, you know, completely different, which is Blaming on My Youth.
I don't know any other bands that start with a beat. You know what I mean?
The majority of our albums started with beats and rhythms. It actually stops you from creating the same thing over and over again. If you kind of like start with a rhythm, you
sense.
Know, I don't know. Rhythm is everything, and it kind of differentiates song from song. And I don't know. That's how it came up. But a lot of this album, I was really stoked that, you know, started from actual beats that I had that turned into something obviously much greater than my beat, but I'm glad it triggered something, you know?
Are you getting any texts right now?
Am I getting any what?
Texts.
Your phone is blowing up.
I'm more nervous about the ESPN update. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it sounded like
because,
a Dracula
it's because
vibe.
I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I like it.
I was nervous. I was like, did LeBron get traded? I start checking my internet.
Now, Travis, I know that you've talked about the forthcoming album being a bit experimental, but also having it be like your 2003 Blink-182 album, the closest thing to that. So which one is it?
Yeah, so that album, like self-titled, untitled, whatever you want to call it, was really, really influenced by, there was like a lot of hip hop beats on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really made that record different. And there's definitely songs on this album that are reminiscent of self-titled in that same way. And knowing like what I just said, a lot of 90% of everything that started on the album started with a beat. So it's definitely far different than California.
And when can we expect that album?
It's coming so soon.
Oh,
we're literally,
soon.
I don't even want to tell you what we're doing right now.
All right.
You're picking the artwork because it's done.
Yeah, artwork. Everything has been really cool, too, you know, like...
By the way, we were just guessing.
I don't want to spoil the fun, but a lot of friends and people like, you know, someone very close to me and dear to me that I've known for almost 2 decades is doing the artwork, and I've worked with them in the past, and it's just, yeah, it's really exciting.
Travis, honestly, we were just guessing that you were on the artwork.
I've got ESPN. I'm not
gonna lie. Didn't know.
Doing pretty good here.
But it sounds fantastic, and I can't wait for it to come out. And again, the tour is you guys in Blink-182 and Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to, with a special guest, Neck Deep, and you're going to be, the local dates are August 8th at the Forum, and then August 27th at Five Point Amphitheater. And if you want to go to those, you can go to livenation.com. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon.
I'll be at the Forum.
Same.
Sure. No doubt.
Sure.
Looking forward to it. We love the new song, Travis, and thank you for taking the time today.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Thank you, man.
Too.
Bye now.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time for one more What's Happening with Ellie. Okay.
Guys.
What's going on?
Bean nailed it.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
That's weird.
This is very odd.
Yeah.
When we were talking about baby names for Jensen, Bean had mentioned how much he loves the name Archie.
And, like, it was his number one.
Oh, number one. Yeah. He was like, oh, it's an amazing name. And we're like, you just like the comics. What are you doing?
Right.
And then he had said for a royal baby name, he likes Archie the most.
Yeah. It was
he was just, look, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? He just keeps saying Archie until somebody names the kid Archie.
But
he was right.
I mean, the man has the queen tattooed on his arm. I mean, this is specifically what he would be guessing.
Yes. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are delighted to announce that they have named their son...
Count Smoky Love?
No. Mm-mm. No. Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor.
What's the Mountbatten?
I don't know. Let's focus on the Archie.
Okay. I like that.
Archie.
I don't mind Archie either.
Yeah.
It is odd that he guessed that.
Yeah, he did. Do you think he's closer to the Queen than we think?
Do you think that's where he is like, right now?
In the Queen?
You mean
I
like,
mean, visiting the Queen? Yeah.
Right?
Everyone saw that.
We got it, Kevin.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Wow,
that's
nailed
odd.
It.
Yeah, that's weird.
And speaking of Jean Bean Baxter, Amy Schumer revealed the name of her newborn son. His name is Gene Attell Fisher.
Unbelievable. There's a Gene and an Archie
yes.
in the news.
Unbelievable. But I love that the middle name is Attell because of Dave Attell, who Amy Schumer has been good friends with for a long time. So that's delightful.
Yeah, Bean, it is a name. God.
All right, ma'am. Okay. You guys heard this Klay Thompson story?
No.
So The Athletic's Ethan Strauss did an article, and he said, Klay Thompson conserves his energy for what he loves, and he's always been impatient with any less-than-favorite activity. That's why there was some amusement in Warriors Land when, an hour left in the film, Klay Thompson got up and left a screening of Avengers Endgame. The plot didn't interest him, not enough to demand that much time and attention. He gave it 2 hours.
Why did he give it 2 hours, then?
I get it. I get it.
You get it, but you didn't go.
You didn't
give it 2 hours
no, but
and
I
then
understand.
Get up and walk
I understand.
Out.
After 2 hours, he's like, that's cool. I get it.
But after two
but you don't.
Hours.
I mean, listen, we're looking at a man who's only watching the last season of Game of Thrones and feels satisfied.
Yes,
that's true, Kevin.
But in this movie, you have no idea how it ends.
Someone will tell him.
Okay.
He'll get to the locker room. Someone will go like, do you need the last hour? Yeah. Here's what happens.
You know who not to talk about Klay Thompson with?
Who?
Producer Christine. I said I was going to do the story, and she instantly yelled, I hate his stupid face. I'm like, okay, Christine, what's that all about? She hates his stupid face and says he looks like someone from Color Me Bad and like John B. had a baby. And it really upsets her.
Okay.
And I think mostly because he's on the Warriors.
Yeah.
And they're good, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he wasn't he on the Clippers for a minute or no?
I Who? Don't think so.
Klay Thompson? No.
No?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's Michael Thompson's son.
Yes.
See, okay. That's why I was thinking Clippers.
Then, no, you're thinking
one
his,
of those sons.
His brother's on the Dodgers.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Michael Thompson has super talented kids like that?
He's not on the Dodgers anymore, but
he was. Yeah.
Wow.
He was.
Okay. I was thinking of Doc Rivers and then Austin for some reason. Their son and dad. All right. Anyway, here's the thing. Producer Christine hates his stupid face.
Right.
And now Kevin hates his stupid everything because he walked out of Avengers Endgame. It's just nuts, right?
It's ridiculous. If you're going to spend 2 hours,
yeah,
go ahead and finish it up.
Yeah. You guys, ratings for Jeopardy have steadily increased from 9.6 million viewers during early April to 12 million by the end of the month. And they are, it's all because of James. James Holzhauer, who is basically trying to beat Ken Jennings' all-time record of $2.5 million set in 2004.
Is it teamwork between he and you, however, because you talk about it?
Listen, I love him so much. He's currently at about 1.6 million. And people are tuning in because they want to see him break the record and see what his streak is. He's playing the game unlike anyone has seen him play the game before. But in a sad twist of fate for the people over there at Jeopardy, who, you know, your numbers were big enough to dethrone the reigning syndication ratings champ, Judge Judy.
Which never happens.
Mm-hmm. And to have a trajectory of 9.6 million viewers at the beginning of the month, up to 12 million by the end of the month, is unheard of. That's just insanity.
Right.
Worst timing ever. The teachers tournament just began yesterday for 2 weeks. So James won't be back on until May 20th.
It's a ratings nightmare for them, right?
It really is. Plus, it's May sweeps, and it's just, you don't want that.
Canceled.
Because you hate teachers?
Oh, you hate teachers. You hate
you don't
to
want
see
teachers
them
to make
win.
Money. They already make so much.
No. A teachers
They're
tournament
so
is always a really fun tournament, but you got to wonder if the people there are like, oh, why didn't we do this later in the summer? But yeah. But he'll be back May 20th, and may I just say, check out the teachers tournament because
at this point you work for them, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
Teachers tournament is real good. They had a teacher on last night that basically said, "I'm the cool teacher." And James, what? Alex Trebek was like, well, what makes you the cool teacher? And she's like, well, I mean, I was in the military. I did a bunch of stuff before I became a teacher. So the kids always want to talk to me about what it's like being me. And I was like, no, the kids don't want to learn.
Work. Yeah.
You just are chatty Kathy up there.
In high school, whenever you had a substitute teacher, you knew the minute you got them to talk about their personal life.
It was the best day of your life. Yeah. Might as well roll in the TV. You're going to watch a movie.
And if you say, I'm the cool fill in the blank, you're not.
You're not.
You're not the cool mom.
You're just not.
No.
She lost. Wow. She lost big, too. Just saying. She had the only right Final Jeopardy answer. What? Okay. The answer was Annie Sullivan.
Right, don't care.
Guys, Lana Del Rey has a new album coming out.
Annie do.
Jack Antonoff is producing it. It's called Norman Effing Rockwell. We don't know much about it so far, and we're not sure if this song that she posted a preview of on her Instagram yesterday will be making it. But that song is it's a cover of Sublime.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink?
Sublime did the best version of it.
But this is good too.
Yeah.
Shrimps are pretty rich.
Here's Bradley. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, someone's going down the aisle to that song eventually, right?
No, he played the pan flute.
Hope so.
There. That is not it. Yeah. However, I would want that song on any album because it is a bop.
Agreed.
But here is Lana Del Rey covering Sublime's Doin' Time.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel? I have nothing in common with wheels.
Yeah. That's actually Vincent D'Onofrio just doing a song about hamsters.
Oh, you want Lana Del Rey?
Yeah, if you could.
It's a great version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Weird that she had to do it through a can.
Mm-hmm.
Is she saying that's on the album, or you're just guessing?
No, we don't know if it's on the album.
Why did she post it?
Yeah, she posted it to her Instagram. So,
all right,
we don't know, you guys. Just a little preview of that version.
That's great.
Great album. Great album. I didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
How's it come out?
Again, not out.
Not out.
Not out. Mm. Ben Stiller. He wants to make a documentary about his parents.
No.
And I would watch the hell out of that. If you don't know who his parents are, they are comedy legends, Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira. And gosh, they're magic. They're absolute magic.
They do
together.
Magic?
You know him.
They might.
Yes, they might be clowns. We know him from Seinfeld.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? He was Jerry's dad. And then, I mean, she's in a bunch
of
stuff,
right? George's dad.
George's dad, right. And she's in a bunch of stuff, too, right?
Just a classic
couple. I just know them from their comedy team,
He said, I'm actually right now putting together all footage of my parents to try and make some sort of documentary. It's crazy to watch it all. There's so much stuff. He told Stephen Colbert that at the Montclair Film Festival. So I say, Ben Stiller, make that documentary, and I will watch it. I don't know if that's the push you needed, but
I'm sure that's it.
He's probably just driving, and he was like, I was on the fence, but now I have to.
Right. Understandable. Let's talk some birthdays for you. Actor Stephen Amell, singer Enrique Iglesias, and drummer Alex Van Halen, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour is happening thanks to the random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Thursday, so we have Get Up on This with Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dr. Drew and the host of American Ninja Warrior, Akbar Bajabiamila.
I feel like you're getting very close.
It's working. Slow it down, and it's working.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's working.
I like it.
Until tomorrow when he's here, and then it will be bad. Tomorrow.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.